We are almost ending the book, the letter to the Philippians. We are at chapter 4, verse 10. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. And again, keep your Bible open because we're going to navigate through the text. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. The title of the sermon is Holy Funds for Holy Purpose. Holy Funds for Holy Purpose. Verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what is to be in need, and I know what is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credit to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Holy funds for holy purpose. From verse 10 to 20, if I could give you the map, it is this. The Apostle Paul, Jesus, he's depicting the relationship between missionary and church. Church and missionary. So we're going to see the responsibilities of the church, and we're also going to see the responsibilities of the missionary, okay? What is the church responsibility? The church must provide, fund, support the missionary. What is the missionary responsibility? This one is very cool. To truly work. To truly work. This is not common in the older generation of missionaries, but this is very common in the new generation of missionaries. They want to do missions, and it's always in a nice place. It is always for sake of tourism. So what is the missionary's responsibility? To truly work. If he is being funded, he must work. Let us see first the church's responsibility. First responsibility, systematic contribution. I want you to pay attention to the word systematic. Verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Let us read verse 15. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. The responsibility of the church, systematic contribution. It is not a one-time offering. It is not spontaneous. It's not only when there is a need, it is systematic. Great question. Why does it need to be systematic? Because the missionary has systematic needs. He eats every day, he showers every day, he clothes himself every day. He also needs to go to the dentist. He also has back pain, so he needs to go to the chiropractor. He also has headache, so he needs to go to the doctor. The missionary has daily needs, systematic needs. Let me illustrate this to you. What do you think if your employer, your boss, did pay you once per year or maybe twice per year? What do you think that our community would look like? It would be kind of crazy, right? But the fact that our employer pays us systematically, he provides for us systematically, make our community okay, functional. We should do the same as a church, because our missionaries need it systematically. Imagine if the missionary in the mission field have the funds once in a while. He doesn't know what's gonna happen. Imagine if that happened to us here. Imagine in the missions field. We are working in the community under the government of Canada. How much more God wants to maintain the functionality of His kingdom in the missions field. Therefore, systematic contribution. What is the application I want to make? Every church in Canada must have at least one missionary who is supported by the church. Okay? At least one. Because the church, the relationship we are seeing here, it is the church's duty to systematically support the missionary. We are in a very, money-wise speaking, we are in a very wealth nation. Every church in Canada must have one missionary that is supported systematically. First point. What is the next church responsibility? Spiritual and emotional contribution. Let us read verse 18. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So the Apostle Paul receives funds, he receives clothing, he receives food, he may receive some money. This is all material. But see what he says. All of these that I received, it is a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. He takes that which is material, and now he spiritualizes it. Why? Spiritual, emotional, contributional. The Apostle Paul knows this. Money is not material. Money is spiritual. Money is spiritual. Whatever is your, help me to quote in English, where is your treasure, there is also your heart. Yeah. Where your treasure is, there is also your heart. I'll illustrate this to you so you understand that money is spiritual. When there is shortage, calamity, lack, tough times, There is a short of supply. Some people raise the price. Why? Because there is a shortage. Now everybody wants my product. Now I can sell it for more. The same shortage, the same calamity. There are some people. What they do? They lower the price. Why? Because there is a shortage. I want to make my product more available. Money is spiritual. That's why prices go down, up, blah, blah, blah. Because money is spiritual. It shows us a lot about our hearts, our minds, and our intention. So there is this aspect of spiritual and emotional contribution. Every time you give the fund, you're also contributing emotionally and spiritually. What is the application? We should send funds to the missionary, but we also should pray for our missionaries. We should also, and this I really need to do, we should also call our missionaries. So we have some, me as the pastor of this church, I should call our missionaries, ask how they are doing. I never did that, but this sermon is teaching me that. To call them, see how they are doing, see if they need something. Maybe sometimes they just need that call. Maybe sometimes they just need to be cherished. Maybe sometimes they just need a word of advice. I know we have here in our church our missionaries. I know we have their contact info. And I'm going to make sure I'm doing this ASAP, spiritual and emotional contribution. Third, what is the church's responsibility? Sacrificial contribution. And this is the same verse. It is a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Verse 18. It is sacrificial. I gave you the context of Canada and the Canadian churches. I gave you the context of the power of the dollar. The power of the dollar, it's four times more powerful than my currency. So if you send $100 to my country, it is a very great money. So there is this power in the Canadian church because of the currency power, because of the wealth of the nation. That wasn't the case of Philippians. This was not poor. This was a very hyper, mega, whatever extreme is great, poor church. The Philippians were really poor. Let us open 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And keep your finger in Philippians because we need to go back. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond, I'll repeat this word, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Extreme poverty. What did the Philippians do? First, They were not wealthy. They were extreme poor. Secondly, in this case that I'm reading to you, they are sending funds not to the Apostle Paul. They already sent funds to the Apostle Paul systematically. This is what kind of we did last week to the Turkey people. We are sending funds because there is a calamity. In this case, there was a drought in the whole Roman Empire. I'll say this again. There was a drought, there was a calamity in all the empire. Not only to Jerusalem, all the empire. So, basic question. Were they facing the drought? Obviously, because also them was under the drought. Nevertheless, despite they were suffering, despite they were suffering the same issue the others were facing, they what did they do? They sent funds to the ones who were in need. In this case, to the Jerusalem church, people who were in Jerusalem. This is the second thing they did. But the third, and this is amazing, they went the extra mile. They gave beyond they could afford. In our modern days, they had no money in the bank account. They put on the credit card, blessed the person, and they took the payments later. Remember that someday I put my vacation in the credit cards and I had to deal with the payments? They were not selfish like me. They put in the credit card not their selfish travel. They put in their credit card the needs of the others. Why? Because the needs are daily. That's the Philippians church. Not because they are wealth. Here is the application I want you to remember. Remember this word. The Philippians have a heart that it's greater than their bank account. I don't know how much money you have in the bank account, but I really pray that your heart it's greater than the amount of money you have in the bank account. Okay? And the second application, I want you and I want us as a church to go the extra mile, to go beyond our tithes, to go beyond the 10%. The 10% in the church is the first letter. Letter? Step. First step. It's not the last step. It's the first step. We go beyond the 10%. We give offering. We invite people for dinner. We are a generous people. Amen? Amen. Sacrificial contribution. That's the three responsibilities of the church. And since this is a marriage, each part has their responsibility. Now we're going to see the missionary responsibility. Gratitude for the contribution. And when I say gratitude, I'm not saying, oh, I'm thankful. I really mean gratitude. And now you're going to understand why. Verse 10, and now we need to be back in Philippians. Verse 10 says this, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Verse 14, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. The Apostle Paul is thankful for the contribution and thankful for the Philippians church. Why? Most of us, we don't work in the things we like to do. We have to work whatever job it shows up, cleaning, construction, not the dream job. Only few of us have the chance to work doing what they are passionate about it. Usually we need to volunteer to go the extra mile to do what we are passionate about it. Not the missionaries. Once the missionary finds a partner, once the missionary finds a church, once the missionaries find someone who is going to support him for his doing what he was called to do, he gets that honor that we don't, to work and to do what they are passionate about it, to work and to do what they were called for, to work and to do what they enjoy doing it. And that's why the first responsibility of the missionary starts in the heart, to really be grateful because they are doing what they were called to do. They are doing what they were passionate about it, and to be grateful for their partners. Because if we think about it, maybe the only thing the missionary needs, it's a partner. Maybe. There are some other things he needs. He needs training. He needs emotional support. He needs to be tested. He needs a lot of things. But the main thing he needs, it's a partner. So that's why he needs to be grateful for. If you walk out today in the church, you're going to see there, Peter Ford came in February and he brought a souvenir, a gift for us. And it says, "We are always thankful for you." Peter and his wife, that I don't know the name, I'm sorry, Ford, signed up. They are thankful. Why? Because of Emmanuel, they were able to fulfill their call and to work, to do the work they love. What's the application for the church? Let us keep giving that joy to our missionaries. What is our application for us as a missionaries? Let us have our gratitude ourselves. Second responsibility of the missionary. Resilience when there is a lack of contribution. Verse 11 to 13. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what is to be in need, and I know what is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Resilience where there is a lack of contribution. Missions field. I can guarantee you there will be needs. No matter how much money you send, no matter how many people you send, no matter how much prayer you pray, no matter how much calls you call, you send psychologists, counselor, you can send everything. In the missions field, there will be always needs. And there is a reason why. The reason is this. The same mission fields that assures you of the need, it's the same mission fields that teaches you Deuteronomy chapter 8. Man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by the word of God. And that's why God does that to his missionaries. And that's why God does that in the mission field. Illustration. The beauty of fasting. We don't talk too much about fasting, but fasting, it's a beautiful spiritual discipline. What does fasting do? It's teaching you and I that man shall not live by bread alone. You take the bread out, you take the food out, and you go into prayer, and you're going to figure out that you're not going to die. You're going to be alive. And that you're going to be fed by the word of God. That's the beauty of fasting. And somehow, God brings this fasting in the mission field. God brings this fasting for the missionaries. Sometimes it's a lack of resources. Sometimes it's a lack of person. Sometimes it's a lack of ideas. Sometimes it's a lack of opportunity. All the kinds of needs to teach them resilience that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. What is the application here? It's two applications. First, let us build up our resilience. Secondly, let us learn to be content in every circumstance. The Apostle Paul, I find beautiful the words he uses. He doesn't say, I am content in every situation. He says, I learned to be content. I didn't know before. I was grumpy. I was always complaining. But I learned. I correct myself. I repent. I start to see things in another way. And then I learn to be with much or with little. Rice and beans or a nice steak. I learned this because I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. This is the application. Learn to be content in all the circumstances and build up your resilience. First, missionary responsibility, gratitude. Secondly, resilience. The third, that English is so bad. Blessing to the ones who made the contribution. To bless the ones who made the contribution, okay? The missionary should bless the ones who have blessed him. We're going to see that in verse 17 to 19. Verse 17. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Here is the blessing. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. There is a promise in this verse that it's particular. It is unique. This promise you try to find to the letters to the Corinthians, you're not going to find it. Letters to the Romans, you're not going to find it. Thessalonica, you're not going to find it. Ephesians church, you're not going to find it. This promise is unique to the Philippian church. Why? Because this promise was not made to all the churches. These promises are made to the churches who are giving. I love here in Canada, in English, they say, may the Lord bless you as you give. It is a saying we have. Because this is so true. This promise is to everyone who first give. Can I illustrate this to you and keep this illustration in mind? Every time you open your hand to give, God sees your hand open to receive. Every time you harder, every time you close your hand and not give, God also sees your hand closed and you cannot receive. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. How is he so assured about this promise? How is he so assured to say, my God will supply your needs? How? Simple. If the Apostle Paul saw his needs met, he knows the needs of the Philippians going to be met. The God I serve is the same God you serve. My God and Father is the same God and Father of yours. The Apostle Paul, I am giving my life to the work of Christ, and Christ is supplying my needs. You, Philippians, you guys are giving me funds for the work of Christ. Therefore, I know that my God will also supply your needs. That's why he's so sure of that promise. And that's why this promise is very unique to the ones who give. So remember this, the generous soul shall prosper. Open the mouth, the hand to give, and you're going to see that God will always going to bless you equally and even beyond. The second application. See verse 17. Read verse 17. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I am not looking for the gift. I'm looking for what is going to be credited to your account. Here it's how the Apostle Paul wants to bless the Philippian church. He's giving Philippians the opportunity to be blessed when they give. And not blessed as their spiritual and material needs are met. He's blessing them eternally. This is credit for you. God knows what you're doing. God knows you're going beyond. God knows you have been sacrificial. God knows whoever receives Jesus Christ, whoever is transformed, whoever hears the gospel, God knows it's not me, Apostle Paul. God knows it's you, Philippians, who provided me the opportunity. God knows I am preaching with my mouth. You are preaching with your hands. You're preaching with your pocket. You're preaching with your heart. God knows. So I am not so worried about the gift. What I really want you Philippians to understand, and the way the missionary really wants to bless the Philippian church, is to extend the opportunity to preach the gospel and to extend the rewards of preaching the gospel eternally to the Philippian church. That's the heart of the Apostle Paul. So he's blessing the church of the Philippians in a twofold way. One, you're also going to be supplied. And two, you have a share in the rewards. You have a share in the blessings. You have a share in the efforts of preaching the gospel. This is credit to you. I like always to say that pastors have the same salary. And you're going to say, Gustavo, this is not true. Some pastors make more, some pastors make less. Some pastors are very rich, some pastors are not. I always say, because the salary, it's not our salary. It's only the maintenance. It is only the gift. What I'm talking about when I say that pastors have also always the same salary, it's because I'm talking about the credit. I'm talking about what really counts eternally. I'm talking about the rejoice, the rewards, the blessings that come when we see that we preach the gospel and lives were transformed and we were part of it. Remember this. Remember this. I'm going to bring this sermon to the conclusion. I'll need Tricia now. Let us just go back. What is in this relationship, church and missionary, that is depicted here? What are we seeing for the church, Emmanuel Church? Systematic contribution, spiritual and emotional contribution, sacrificial contribution. Okay? What are we expecting from our missionaries? I like this word. What are we expecting from our missionaries? We are not expecting only an annual report. We are expecting gratitude for the contributions. We are expecting resilience when there is a lack for the contribution. And third, we are expecting them to bless us because we are partners with him with our contribution. Was that clear? Conclusion, verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Remember, the Apostle Paul, don't waste his words, especially when he uses the name of the Lord. When he says it is for the glory of God, what is he saying? My sacrificial life. I am in prison. I am going everywhere I can. Why? For the glory of God. I am in need sometimes, I have plenty sometimes. I am protected sometimes, I am in danger sometimes. Why? For the glory of God. I'm not doing tourism. I'm not trying to know the whole empire. I'm not trying to skip my hometown. I'm not trying to skip my family. I'm not trying to skip my past. No, my sacrificial life as a missionary, as apostle, is for the glory of God. What else is for the glory of God? The sacrificial offering of the church. In that sense, Philippians, extreme poverty, but they always had something to give. It's for the glory of God. Not only the Philippians, but this system that happens, this relationship that happens between missionaries and churches are for the glory of God. I really want you to think on how much glory would be to God, would be to the church, would be if every church would have a missionary. Would every church would support a missionary? Think about how much glory to God. Think about how much reward to the church. Think about how much blessing to the world, to the community, to everyone, if there is this relationship with a sacrificial, a systematic offering from the church for the glory of God. And finally, the results of the ministry. Every person who is saved, every family who is saved, every life who is changed, that's not for the glory of the apostle. That's not for the glory for the church who gave. That's not for the glory of none but Jesus Christ, the one who calls us to go and the one who calls us to support. He made that system. He told us to go. He commanded us to go and make disciples. He established the church so this relationship could happen. And the results of it, it's for the glory of Him Himself. And every time that God is glorified, you want to know the good news, you also rejoice. Every time God is glorified, you are also blessed. Every time God is glorified, there is credit for you. Therefore, we really want to pay attention to our missionaries, whom we are sending, how often we are sending, how often we are praying about for them. We really want to pay attention in this, because this brings glory to God. Amen. Amen.